Chapter 5, Gusu / Lan Ling, in which the first steps to a reunion are being taken. Bringing people the good news that their loved ones have been found and wish to see them is one of the most rewarding things about this job, Jin Su thinks. She's back in Lan Ling after she had contacted Jiang Yan Li to talk to her again, but also because she's meeting up with Luo Chunyang and the rest of the team for lunch. Luo Chunyang has been working on another case simultaneously, an elderly man looking for a sister whom he got separated from as a child. Turns out, those two people had been living only two streets away from each other for the past 30 years without knowing it. "It's crazy," Luo Chunyang says. "They've probably passed each other 1,000 times at the grocery store without being aware of it. Kind of sad if you think about it. I mean, all this time they could have spent together, lost forever." Jin Su nods. "Then again, it's better if they find each other late than never," she counters. Luo Chunyang hums. "That is true. But hey, so how was Yiling? I mean, you only told us that it was time to get back in contact with Lan Sizhui and Jiang Yan Li. Do we have good news or bad news to break to them?"
"Only the best," Jin Su replies, grinning widely.
"This was one of the wildest cases ever. You know how I went there to talk to the kid's birth family? Well, they all want to see him. Saw pictures of his parents. There's no doubt about it. Those are his relatives."
"In the dead end about Wei Wuxian?"
"Well, you'll never guess who I found living with said family." Luo Chunyang sets her coffee mug down with a clang.
"No way!"
Jin Su nods again.
"So here's what I know."
Luo Chunyang gets into contact with the Wen family and with Wei Wuxian, since Lan Sizhui knows her best, and she will be the one to travel with the Wen so that they can meet each other. Jin Su gets on the phone with Jiang Yanli, who sounds as if she's unsure whether to be hopeful or start mourning for good. Meeting up again with Jiang Yanli a few days later, and telling her that her brother has been found, is well, and would like to see her, gets Jin Su the exact same reaction as it always does, and yet it never fails to make her emotional. Jiang Yanli tears up, laughs through her tears, and after viewing Wei Wuxian's short but heartfelt video message, kisses Jin Su on both cheeks while thanking her profusely. "In 2 days, you'll be able to see him," Jin Su tells her, and Jiang Yanli laughs and cries some more. At the same time, Luo Chunyang makes her way to Gusu, where Lan Sizhui is waiting for her. Not at home, but in a public park this time. It's a nice day. Lan Sizhui looks well, but she can tell that he's nervous. Lan Wangji is with him. Even though he didn't want to appear on camera, he's here to support his son, since they're not sure what kind of news they'll get. Moreover, he has agreed to give a brief statement about the whole situation. "There will always be people criticizing when we work with minors, and the parental figures aren't seen on camera at least once, no matter how often we underline that consent has been given," Luo Chunyang told him. "Since you are a public figure through your books, it's possible that saying nothing at all could give you and your son a hard time." Both are sitting on a bench in a more secluded area of the park. Lan Sizhui exhales shakily.
"Are you all right?" she asks him.
"We can take a break whenever you feel like you need one."
Lan Wangji extends a hand to his son, who takes it.
Sizhui shakes his head.
"I am just nervous, that is all."
She sits down on the foldable chair her team has brought with them, and gives the camera under the sound guys a sign to start rolling.
"Lan Sizhui, you are here with your father today," she begins, as Sizhui nods again. "What kind of experience has this been for you as a family?"
"My father and I talked a lot," Sizhui says. There was one moment in which I started to have doubts,
We do share a strong bond, but I was still afraid that I would make him feel as if my birth family was more important to me than he is.
Lan Wangji shakes his head. When I first adopted Sizhui, I was under the impression that he had no living relatives anymore.
Lan Wangji shakes his head.
Still, I went into it, knowing that he might ask one day. I was always ready to help him find out whatever he wished to know about his birth family. I believe that I don't have the right to deny him that. It doesn't change our bond as father and son. If anything, I feel as if it only grew stronger.
What about his search for his long-lost friend?
Luo Qingyang asks. That is no different, Lan Wangji replies. This man was a father figure to my son before I entered his life. I do not know what led him to disappear in such a hasty manner. As such, I have no right to judge him, but I...
He trails off, swallows, blinks hard.
I know what it feels like to lose people that quickly, without a warning. To be helpless in the face of their disappearance, no matter how hard one tries to find them. I can only imagine how heartbreaking it must have been for a boy as young as my son. If I can do anything to help reunite them, if it would bring Sizhui joy, I see no reason to deny him that.
Thank you, Baba, Sizhui whispers. Lan Wangji leans over to press a kiss to his son's temple.
Luo Qingyang knows of Lan Wangji's reputation as a man of not many words and not many emotions, but she supposes that it's either a front to keep his family life as private as possible in the light of his quite public career, or that this whole experience has softened his demeanor. Seeing how talking about the people he lost affects him to this day breaks her heart. He has mentioned his estranged father and the loss of his mother to illness when he was still a child himself a few times publicly. She thinks he was talking about those people too. Right now, Luo Qingyang wishes more than anything she could tell Lan Wangji that they not only have found his son's family, but also his long-lost love.
She knows that other shows similar to Forget Me Not like to keep their participants in the dark about whether or not they have found the people they are missing, right until the day they meet again, but that's never been the concept of their show. They prefer to tell their participants, and let the news and emotion settle for a few days, before setting up a meeting. In this case, she made a promise to Lan Sizhui. Her producers have agreed to make an exception. So, she keeps quiet. Instead, she says, Sizhui, have you ever wondered what your birth parents might have looked like?
For the longest time, I haven't, Sizhui replies.
Mainly because people always claim that my father and I have the same nose, even though we're not related by blood. The tiniest smile appears on Lan Wangji's face. Sizhui smiles back at him.
Lately, though, I did find myself wondering. I guess it's only natural to be curious about what your parents might have looked like, if you share any similarities with them.
Would you like to see a photograph?
Sizhui then stares at her, wide-eyed, his lips slightly parted.
Slowly, he nods.
Luo Qingyang unearths the photograph from her bag and hands it over to Sizhui, who takes it with shaking fingers.
Lan Wangji leans over to get a better look. Both are silent for the longest time before they speak again.
You have the same smile as your father, Lan Wangji remarks, and your eyes look like your mother's.
You think so?
Sizhui asks, his voice trembling the tiniest bit.
Lan Wangji only nods and smiles.
Their names are Wen Li and Wang Yihan. They died in a car crash near Gusu when you were about 8 months old, Luo Qingyang tells him. We know that you were in emergency foster care for a while, but we were unable to find out why they couldn't keep you.
Sijue's eyes are still fixed on the photograph.
"Can I keep this?"
he asks breathlessly.
"Of course," Luo Qingyang tells him. "And if you wish to see more, I am sure your family will be more than happy to show you as many photographs as you'd like to see. And if you wish to see more, I am sure your family will be more than happy to show you as many photographs as you'd like to see."
Sijue's head snaps up. He looks at his father, then at Luo Qingyang again.
"Does that mean you found someone?"
Luo Qingyang nods. "Not only someone. Cousins, uncles, aunts, a granny."
"A granny!"
Sijue repeats, and laughs in delight.
"Really? I have a grandmother?"
"She acts as an honorary grandmother for the whole family, so yes." Sijue laughs again. His father puts an arm around his shoulder and squeezes him lightly. Luo Qingyang then turns to Lan Mengji. "Does the surname Wen ring a bell?" Lan Mengji hums. "When you mentioned it just now, I was unsure whether you meant that particular Wen family, but if you ask me like that, yes, that does indeed explain why no one ever came looking for him." Sijue looks at Lan Mengji quizzically. "I do not think that you remember the scandal around Wen Rohan," he tells his son. "You were still too young. It was all over the news back then. As far as I know, it had been going on for quite some time, but everything came to a blow about a year before I adopted you, I believe. Wen Rohan had a pharmaceutical company that he used as a front for money laundering. He has been convicted and is incarcerated as we speak, but he had no qualms using even harsher criminal methods to silence the people who needed to be silenced, in his opinion. It took a while to track his henchmen down and convict them as well, so..."
"My family might have been forced to hide," Sijue concludes, as Lan Mengji nods. "They are good people," Luo Qingyang tells him.
"Of course, they were investigated back then, and they've been declared clear of all charges in the process. However, some of them knew just a bit too much for it to be safe to stay where they were, and they were shunned by the public for carrying the Wen name, even if they had nothing to do with Wen Rohan directly. They did live under fake names for a while, until it was safe for them to use their own name again, but it still took them years to rebuild their reputation." Sijue nods, slowly, as if trying to process it all. "That's why they didn't come looking for me," he concludes.
"The truth is that they didn't know you were alive," Luo Qingyang explains.
"Your parents had made arrangements so that their names and your surname wouldn't appear on any documentation you might have in order to protect you should anything happen to them. The Wens were told you had died alongside them in the car accident."
It's much to take in.
Sijue can't help but let a tear fall from his eye.
"It must have been awfully hard for them," he whispers.
"It was," Luo Qingyang confirms, "and it's still not easy for them now. But they have each other, and they're happy. And now that they know that you are still here, they are even happier. They would like to see you, if you would have them."
Sijue's whole face lights up.
He turns to his father as if to ask for permission. Lan Mengji inclines his head in consent.
"Of course, I would love to," Sijue tells her,
while Luo Qingyang hands him another photograph.
"These are Wen Qing and her younger brother Wen Ning. This is Granny Wen, and this is Uncle Four," she says, pointing at the different people. "They would all love to see you, and if you get on well, maybe you could visit them one day and get to know the rest of the family."
Sijue nods enthusiastically. She then plays the Wen's video message to Sijue. It's a short one, in which they express how happy they are that he is alive and well, and that they cannot wait to see him. Sijue smiles so brightly after seeing it that Lord Xingyang wonders if his cheeks hurt.
"It looked lovely," Lan Sizhui says, while Lan Wangji squints at the screen.
"What is it?" Lord Xingyang asks.
Lan Wangji hesitates.
I am not sure. Wen Qing reminds me of someone I have seen on campus a few times while I was still a student. I never talked to said student back then, but I might be mistaken."
"That is entirely possible. She attended Gusu University for a short while." She then takes a deep breath, directing her focus back to Sizhui.
"As you can imagine, it's not exactly easy to make a whole family disappear. The Wens needed help with getting out of here as quickly as possible, leaving no trace behind. The Wen siblings had met someone during their studies who had sensed the danger the family was in, and in an attempt to help them, had become a target too. So, he took it upon himself to leave his old life behind in order to help the Wens disappear, but also to protect those who were close to him back then. You know this man as Xian Gege."
Sizhui drops the two photographs he was still holding.
"You are joking," he says, incredulous.
Luo Jingyang shakes her head.
"We got in contact with one of his siblings, but after that, the trail went cold. We were already thinking that we'd have to bring you bad news regarding him, but as it turns out, he still lives with the Wens, and he wants to see you too."
Lan Sizhui bursts into tears.
"I think it's good that he had a few days to process it all," Lan Mengji tells Luo Jingyang 2 days later. "He was shaken up, even if it was in a good way."
"Is he fine now?" Luo Jingyang asks.
"He is," Lan Mengji confirms. "He is a very strong young man. He's very excited and happy."
"What about you?"
Lan Mengji hums. "I am happy for him," he says. "I was never able to tell him much about his family. I am glad he has that connection now. I only hope they will get on well with each other."
"Oh, they will. I'm sure about it," Luo Jingyang says, just as Sizhui appears at the door. "Are you both ready?"
They get into Luo Jingyang's car. The Wens are staying in a hotel not too far from Lan Wangji's and Sizhui's place of residence. That way, the family is comfortable, and Sizhui is able to visit them as often as he wants to during their stay.
"I don't want to appear greedy, but when will I be able to see Xian Gege?"
he asks during the drive. He seems calm, but the way he is fidgeting with his seatbelt betrays his nerves.
"Next week," Luo Jingyang tells him. "He hasn't seen his sister, and just as long as you haven't seen him. He's meeting her today, and we wanted to give both of you a bit of time."
Sizhui nods, a smile on his face. He glances at his father, then meets Luo Jingyang's gaze in the rearview mirror. She smiles back at him.
As most reunions are, this one is a tearful one, but a surprisingly calm one.
Luo Jingyang has witnessed many of them. She stays on the sidelines, doesn't interfere, only watches. Sizhui is shy at first, walking over to the Wens in measured steps before bowing to them.
"My name is Lan Sizhui," he says. "I welcome you in Gusu."
"Oh, look at him!" Granny Wen exclaims. "So formal and polite! The last time someone talked to me like that was when my late husband proposed to me."
Everyone laughs at that, and the ice is finally broken. They shake hands, exchange hugs, and introduce themselves. From what Luo Jingyang can tell, conversation comes easy to them, and Lan Sizhui is welcomed into the family as if he had never been missing. The Wens turn their attention to Lan Wangji, then, who introduces himself politely and seems only a bit taken aback by the onslaught of warm affection greeting him. Granny Wen gets hold of him,
beckons him to bend down to her height, and kisses him on both cheeks.
"Thank you for being a good father to our boy," she tells him, and even she has tears in her eyes now.
"I would do it all over again, given the choice," Lan Wangji tells her truthfully.
They then settle down to talk and spend the rest of the day together. Luo Qingyang and her camera team decide to take their leave. She just hopes that the Wens will be able to keep their promise about not mentioning Wei Wuxian's name if he happens to come up in a conversation. She has talked to them about Lan Wangji's past romantic history with Wei Wuxian, and that Lan Sizhui wants to surprise his father. While Wen Qing seemed less than enthusiastic about all of those secret plans, Wen Ning had only smiled softly, and Granny Wen had been delighted, so Luo Qingyang can only hope for the best. Jin Su, for her part, is also hoping for the best. Wei Wuxian looks as if he wants to bolt. For all of his bravado and big words, he seems so frightened and nervous while sitting in the passenger seat of her car that it makes her heart seize up.
"It will all be well," she tells him.
"What if she won't show up?" he asks, his voice uncharacteristically small.
"You believe she would do that? Stand you up like that when she missed you so much?"
Wei Wuxian shakes his head. "No, she would never. She's far too good for that, but maybe her mother said something that made her second guess."
Jin Su sighs. "Your sister told me that she doesn't care about whether or not her parents get angry at her. She seemed pretty firm about it, too. You don't have anything to fear."
They stop at the same cafe in which Jin Su had met Jiang Yanli the first time around. She knows that she's already waiting for them, in the very same spot they had met last time. Half of the camera team had set up there even before Jiang Yanli arrived. The other half is still outside with Jin Su and Wei Wuxian. She walks over to him and looks at the cafe entrance.
"Your sister is waiting for you in there," Jin Su says softly. "Would you like to go in alone, or would you like me to come with you?"
Wei Wuxian says nothing, but the look on his face says it all. She takes his hand and leads him inside. His fingers are trembling. He stops dead in his tracks when he sees Jiang Yanli, seemingly unable to take another step.
"Chi Chi," he whispers.
It's loud enough that the sound carries over to Jiang Yanli, who looks up at him, covers her mouth with her hand as her eyes well up, and gets up from her chair.
"Asian,"
she says at long last, before she practically throws herself into Wei Wuxian's arms. He holds her close, and despite being almost a head taller than her, he bends down to bury his face in the crook of her neck. They both stand there for the longest time in each other's arms, weeping, until Jiang Yanli draws back. She takes Wei Wuxian's face between her palms and wipes away his tears with her thumbs.
"Let me look at you," she says. "You're even more handsome than I remember."
"Ji Ji,"
Wei Wuxian sobs.
"I'm so sorry, so sorry."
"Shh," Jiang Yanli soothes. "It's okay. You're here now. You don't need to tell me why you left if you don't want to. I'm just so happy that you're here with me now, and that you're safe and healthy."
She stands up on her tiptoes and kisses Wei Wuxian's forehead before taking him by the hand and leading him to the table.
"I have so much to tell you,"
Jiang Yanli says. Jin Su walks over to them to wish them all the best. They both hug her and thank her profusely.
"We're not done yet," Jin Su says, ominously pointing a finger towards Wei Wuxian, who chuckles.
"Can't wait," he tells her, and squeezes her hand one last time before she leaves.
reader's notes.
Yay. Oh, this is so fun. I think I figured out how I want to do Luo Qingyang and Jinsu differently. I'm not sure if it's super noticeable, because I do kind of have a mian mian voice that I regularly do, and then Jinsu is usually more just like, can be like more put together woman. She's like more like announcery and like generic woman. Wen Qing is like a little more like stern and like a little bit deeper. Like a little bit stern, no nonsense. It's hard to tell apart Jinsu and Wen Qing. And I'm not sure I'm getting Luo Qingyang that well either, but like, I got it going on in my head, you know? Man, I love when I can do voices. I love when I can do cool narrator things. I need to do more, like, ad stuff, announcement stuff, because I have a great ad voice and, like, when I read stuff. Anyways.